Numbers 9, verses 1 through 14, these are God's words. Now Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it. So Moses told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Yahweh had commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did. Now there were certain men who were defiled by a human corpse, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron that day, and those men said to him, We became defiled by a human corpse. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of Yahweh at its appointed time among the children of Israel? And Moses said to them, Stand still, that I may hear what Yahweh will command concerning you. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, If any one of you or your posterity is unclean, because of a corpse or is far away on a journey, he may still keep Yahweh's Passover. On the 14th day of the second month at twilight, they may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break one of its bones. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that person shall be cut off from among his people, because he did not bring the offering of Yahweh at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger dwells among you and would keep Yahweh's Passover, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover and according to its ceremony. You shall have one ordinance both for the stranger and for the native of the land. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So the tabernacle was completed and consecrated the first day of the first month of the second year. And now that it has been raised up, they are ready to have it as the center of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you know, of course, that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is initiated by the Passover. So the Lord, in his mercy, gives Moses this reminder that they are to keep the Passover. It's been a year since they kept the Passover in Egypt, in Exodus 12. And so the very next one that comes, even though the Lord has given them instruction, the very first one, the very next one that comes, the Lord gives them a reminder. In his mercy. And so they are to keep the Passover, and they do according to what was instructed in Exodus chapter 12. It is reminding them that the God who delivered them from Egypt in that mighty way, plagues culminating in the 10th plague on the night of the first Passover and delivering them out of the land of Egypt, the God to whom they were instructed to keep Passover when they came into the land is the God who is with them now in the wilderness at Sinai, and who will be departing with them as they are about to hear when they're given instruction for departing. And this is one of the great things that the Lord does for us every day when we come to worship him. As a family, and especially every week when we come to worship him in the assembly, he reminds us that he is the same God whom we see interacting with his people in so many events in the history of his people in the scriptures. He is the same God whom he will be in the last day when we have come into the fullness of that which Christ has earned for us. And in the same power and the same glory as then in the past and as then in the future, he is to us today in our house. This very God is the one with whom we walk in fellowship in our home day by day. This very God is the one to whom we gather in Christ by faith through the worship that has been given us on the Lord's Day, the worship that God designed for us and commanded us in the Lord's Day assemblies. And so that is a big part of what he's reminding them and teaching them here, that he is still that God that he was, and he is already that God that he will be. And that here they are in another year, the first month of another year. And there is, there are the new ways by which he has given them to come to him. The tabernacle is brand new. The Aaronic priesthood is brand new. The dedicated Levites for the service of the tabernacle, the labor that frees the Aaronic priesthood to do their duties in worship leadership, as we heard about last week. All that stuff is brand new, but he's the same God. And even when these things are obsoleted in Christ, he will be the same God. Now, a difficulty arises with these men who have been defiled. Perhaps someone died suddenly near them, or perhaps they were the ones who had to bury the person who had died, but they are ceremonially unclean. They had been prevented, of course, they have to be outside the camp and observe the washing and come back, etc. And so they could not keep the Passover on that day, verse 6 says. And they want to know why they cannot bring near the drawing near, the coming near. In the English of our verse 7, it says, why are we kept from presenting? And that word is the word for causing to draw near. The offering, which is the noun for the thing which is brought near. And so why are we kept from bringing near the brought near thing of Yahweh at its appointed time among the children of Israel? They understand how great a thing this is, that God has given them the way by which we come near to him. And they haven't been able to participate. So Moses does not take upon himself either to say, go ahead and participate, or to say, well, that's the regulations, that's tough. Maybe next year, Moses, in his humility, tells him to stand still. And as he waits upon Yahweh to command concerning them. And the very next verse, verse 9, Yahweh spoke to Moses. And the Lord gives the instruction. And he gives instruction that is not just now, but for the future. So he says, if any one of you or your posterity or descendants, your seed, is unclean because of a corpse. And we see especially that future generations are in consideration, because he also says, or is far away on a journey. That is, he is outside the boundaries of Israel. I mean, right now, all of Israel is gathered at Sinai in this newly arranged camp around the tabernacle. And so a faraway journey would just be outside the camp, as these men have had to be because of their ceremonial uncleanness. But the day is coming when the Lord will have settled them in the land. And if you were ceremonially unclean, you would not have to go outside the boundaries of Israel. And so he adds to the regulation that which is especially for once Israel is in the land and has the boundaries of the nation. And he gives them an accommodation. Neither are they to partake in the wrong way, nor are they to ignore partaking. And so, if they're unclean, they certainly must not defile the Passover of the Lord by taking in an unclean condition. However, those who are clean and those who are not far away, he says, if they fail to keep the Passover, that they are to be cut off from among the people. In other words, to put it pretty plainly, missing church when you don't have a good reason is grounds for excommunication. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there is the reminder that we have to do both. Since Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed, and since the feast of the Lord now comes every single week, and there being the feast of the Lord's Day at the very least, and probably, considering 1 Corinthians 11, the feast of the Lord's Supper, it is all the more necessary to carry out church discipline for the church as a whole, and for each believer to keep short accounts with God, so that we don't have a defiled conscience, so that we maintain that holiness. And the apostle there in 1 Corinthians 5 uses this language. He says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed. So it's time to get the leaven of sin out of your house. You have to keep it in the right way. And so we see here in Numbers chapter 9 that if someone was to violate, keep it in the wrong way, they were to be cut off from the people. But if someone was not on a long journey outside the boundaries of Israel, and was not by the enforcement of some censure kept from gathering with the people, that if they failed to keep what the Lord had given, that they were to be excommunicated, they were to be cut off from among the people. In fact, although it is implied here that the people themselves were to do this cutting off and some form of excommunication, it leaves open what we also see in 1 Corinthians 11, that those who are coming to the feast in the wrong way, without properly discerning the body of Christ, coming to take their own supper in their way rather than the Lord's supper in his way, you remember the Lord was cutting off from among them people who did this. Many were ill, and some had died. Some had fallen asleep in the Lord, and he was chastening that congregation. So this is very serious in Numbers chapter 9, and it continues to be very serious in the Church of Jesus Christ. It is an ongoing reality and regulation. And so we see that missing church, missing the drawing near to God in Christ through that which declares to us his sacrifice as the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, is something that God responds to with very serious penalty indeed. The excommunication that they performed on earth was joined to that which the Lord would do also from heaven, as this continues today when the Lord teaches us about excommunication, for instance, in Matthew 18, warning that that which is done on earth, according to the Lord Jesus' words, is the church being brought into line, which that which has been done in heaven. And yet the Passover included not just the corporate worship and the initiation of the Feast of Unleavened Bread of the people as a whole, but it was very much a household observance as well. Each of them was to observe it as a house, and it's probably implied here when it says, according to all the ordinances, that it's observed as a house. And if the household is too small for one lamb, you can get two households together for that lamb. That here, if the head of the household is ceremonially unclean, the whole household must wait. Then, and perhaps even if it's not just the head of the household, that if anyone in the household is ceremonially unclean, they would keep it together, because that was part of the regulation. And so the Lord adds the reminder in verse 14 about the stranger who sojourns among them. Now, he had given that instruction in Exodus chapter 12, verses 43 through 49, that not only the slave who was bought with money and wanted to be part of the household in order to partake of the Passover, and therefore had to be circumcised in order to become a full-fledged member of the household, but that any stranger who wanted to become a part of Israel could circumcise himself and his household and become a household in one of the tribes of Israel, that they could convert, as it were. And this was very important in Exodus chapter 12, because a mixed multitude came out of Egypt with Israel, as we read there. And so among this mixed multitude would be many of these houses that would convert in order to take the Passover unto Yahweh. And then it also looks forward, of course, to when Israel was in the land and they would have sojourners who came and dwelt among them, strangers who came and sojourned among them as resident aliens, and had the option then of actually converting and becoming Israelites by that circumcision, by joining the tribe in whose region, in whose land they dwelt. And the Lord reminds them that he has made provision that households could be added, even to the Old Testament church, that it wasn't merely an ethnic church, it was a covenantal church, even then. So there were strangers who could be added to the people by taking the covenant sign and devoting themselves to the Lord and becoming Israelites. And then there were Israelites who would be put out of the people because they did not participate in drawing near to God in the way that the Lord has commanded. And so let us see that our God is the same today as he was then. He is the same today as he will be in the last day. And he is the God whose church draws near to him in Christ. And therefore, since Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed, let us be sure that we never miss the Lord's Day assembly and the Lord's Day worship and the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Day worship, unless providence positively prevents us from doing so. But let us also be sure that we are keeping short accounts with God and dealing with our sin by laying hold of Christ and being cleansed by him who is figured to us not only in the sacrifices of the ceremonial law, but also in the washings. Let's ask him to help us. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would grant the ministry of your Spirit to us by your Son, that you would give us faith to be sure about our life with you and our interaction with you day by day and week by week, that you are the same God as we saw at Sinai. You're the same God that we shall see at the last day. You are the same God as the day that Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain to take away the sins of the world, to take away our sins. So give us that hearty confidence in you, and grant that we would see how your worship assemblies on the Lord's days are the fulfillment of this Passover, so that we do not keep now annual feasts, but this glorious weekly feast. But do not let us, Lord, take the weekly feast for granted or lightly because it comes so frequently in your mercy to us. But help us to live in such a way that hates sin. And when we do sin, grant that we would deal with it seriously in our own lives. And we pray for the church, that you would grant that the church would deal with it seriously in the church's life, so that we might rightly draw near to you in Jesus. Thank you that you give us to draw near to you in Jesus, in whose name we ask it. Amen.